rally attendees say they shouldn't ever wear masks if they have any medical issues or mental health concerns, or if they feel they simply can't breathe.
When George Floyd was saying, "I can't breathe," and then he died, and now we're wearing a mask, and we say, "I can't breathe," but we're being forced to wear it anyway.
How is that a real person? Like, we used to have fun and be like, "Ha ha, this crazy Florida man story." Then, at some point, everyone became Florida man? Here's to Monday. Also, let's just say that this is coffee. I feel like I'm gonna need a lot of coffee today.
Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you've had a fantastic Monday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. Buckle up, hit that like button, and let's just jump into it. The first thing we're gonna talk about today is we had Chris Evans in the news. Now, if you initially saw him trending on Twitter and you clicked on it, you may have thought, oh, Chris Evans is for some reason trending because he takes pictures with adorable puppies. But if you then continued to scroll through the trend, you realized, oh, that was just a coordinated effort by fans to try to protect Chris Evans. This because it appears that Chris Evans accidentally posted a nude photo online. This because on Saturday, he shared a screen recording to his Instagram story that showed him and a few others playing a game of heads up. It seems totally fine at first, but then at the end of the clip, it appears we get a glimpse of his camera roll, which includes a photo of a penis. I understand I'm saying a penis instead of his penis, even though it is widely believed that it is his, because there isn't a face visible in the picture. You know, with this, Evans, or whoever runs his social media, was rather quick to delete the post. But, of course, the internet is the internet. People screenshotted it, began spreading it like crazy. You know, when all of this happened, we saw a number of reactions. You know, we saw some people making jokes thanking him for seemingly leaking his own nude. Others had more questions about a meme in his camera roll that showed Evans with the words, "Guard that." But as these memes, these jokes, these re-uploads began to spread, we also saw fans getting pretty angry at those searching for and sharing the image, calling it disrespectful, wrong, a violation of his privacy. So in support of Evans, many decided to flood the search results and the hashtags with kind messages, wholesome photos of Evans. We also saw fellow celebrities try to make light of what seemed like an embarrassing moment. Fellow Marvel star Mark Ruffalo tweeting, "Chris, bro, while Trump is in office, there is nothing you could possibly do to embarrass yourself. See? Silver lining." You also had Chrissy Teigen taking a different route by talking about random photos in her own camera roll, suggesting that the photo might not even be of Evans. But throughout all of this, many have also taken time to remind others that Evans has been open about suffering from anxiety and saying he could very well be struggling mentally right now because of the attention his mistake has brought on. And if you're unfamiliar with that, he's talked about it in the past. He almost turned down the role of Captain America because he was experiencing crippling anxiety back in 2007. Also saying by 2010, things intensified to the point where he was considering quitting acting. Ultimately though, choosing to continue, also being rather candid about his mental health issues in recent years. And then in addition to that, one of the last angles to this story that we saw get a lot of attention was the conversation and debate around how different this would be if the nudes that were leaked were that of a woman. Right, say everything about Chris Evans is the same, but he's actually a woman. Which is why we saw the likes of Kat Dennings tweet, "The public respect for Chris Evans's privacy slash feelings is wonderful. Wouldn't it be nice if it extended to women when this kind of thing happened?" This is also likely a sensitive issue for Kat Dennings, whose own photos were leaked in the past. But with all of that said, I do want to know where you land on this. Do you feel like what we've witnessed here with Chris Evans highlights a double standard? Right, and here you have a lot of people comparing how Jennifer Lawrence and others were treated after there was that massive iCloud hack. Are people noting at that time many of those women were slut-shamed, they were blamed for taking the photos? Though you also have people saying that's not a complete one-to-one comparison. For one reason, the iCloud situation was a hack, it wasn't these celebrities accidentally posting it publicly. Secondly, an argument has been made that as far as the social reaction to situations like this, it's softened since then. Right, this belief that that massive hack had actually humanized many of the people who fell victim. But then, in addition to that, you have people going even further and saying, yes, there is a double standard, but in general, maybe Evans aside, it's actually worse for the men. Because for some reason, they're seen as less of a victim, less needing of protection. But yeah, I don't know. Where do you land on this? Then, in Is TikTok About to Die news, we're now seeing reports that TikTok has accepted a bid from the software company Oracle. And this is huge and surprising news because for a while, Microsoft appeared to be the front runner. However, last night they released a statement saying that ByteDance, TikTok's parent company, would not be selling the US operations of the app to them, writing, "We are confident our proposal would have been good for TikTok's users while protecting national security interests. To do this, we would have made significant changes to ensure the service met the highest standards for security, privacy, online safety, and combating disinformation." And it was shortly after that that we got the confirmation that ByteDance had accepted the bid from Oracle. Now, what's interesting with this news is that what's happening with Oracle may not be a sale. Right? According to multiple people familiar with discussions who spoke to outlets like the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal, ByteDance is describing Oracle as its new technology partner, with the two companies proposing a compromise that would allow ByteDance to retain ownership of TikTok and its algorithm while outsourcing the cloud management of its data to Oracle, with reportedly another element of this proposal involving ByteDance moving its headquarters outside outside of China. This to alleviate concerns that it would be subject to Chinese laws that require firms, if directed, to share data in their systems with the government. With it now being reported this morning that TikTok's global operations would be centered in the United States, bringing with it 20,000 new jobs. However, today we've also seen Chinese state media reporting that ByteDance will not sell TikTok's US operations to Microsoft or Oracle, nor will the company give the source code to any US buyers, sources said. Okay, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the reports of this deal are fake, right? Outsourcing management of data isn't the same as giving away the source code. Instead, this is referring to a recent law revision in China meant to complicate or even halt the sale of TikTok to a US company, with that law now preventing Chinese companies from selling certain types of technology to foreign buyers without the explicit permission of the Chinese government. This to, quote, formalize the management of technology export and protect national security. And as far as why China just randomly changed this law, it's believed by a number of experts that this was their way of exerting some leverage over the situation. Right, but with all of that said, there's still the question of, can this deal happen? Right now, it's unclear if China is happy with this deal. Also, doing the deal in this very specific way, does it skirt around the Chinese government? Do we see the Chinese government once again change the rules? Also, it's not just China that could complicate this deal. Right, last month, President Trump issued two executive orders against TikTok, one banning any transactions with the app starting on September 20th, that's just 6 days away, and the other signed on August 14th, giving ByteDance 90 days to divest from its American assets and any data that TikTok has gathered in the US. And so with this reported deal with Oracle, there has been some doubt over whether it's enough to meet the Trump administration's national security concerns. For example, you had Alex Stamos, a cybersecurity expert and former Facebook security head, saying on Twitter, a deal where Oracle takes over hosting without source code and significant operational changes would not address any of the legitimate concerns about TikTok, and the White House accepting such a deal would demonstrate that this exercise was pure grift. One former US official also noting that this approach, at least at the moment, seems well short of a US company taking over the asset and the algorithm, and politically, it would be a massive climb down from what the president said he was going to accomplish with this. But also, according to a current senior administration official, it's not a climb down, with that official reportedly saying that any deal would have to be approved by an interagency group tasked with ensuring that national security concerns are mitigated, and adding, all of the details are not out. And as far as public comments from the administration this morning, we also saw Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin saying on CNBC that he's open to hearing the offer, and adding that Oracle has made, quote, many representations for national security issues. Also, with all that said, it should be noted that there may be another reason that Oracle has a better chance of appeasing the United States. This because, as it turns out, Oracle CEO Larry Ellison is a prominent Trump supporter, and the company itself already has close ties to the administration. So that could give it a helpful edge in trying to win White House approval. But also, Trump has said in the past that TikTok must become a fully US-owned company, so it is possible that this trusted technology partner label, that is not going to fly. And once again, that is the situation in addition to the issues that China could cause. And in the meantime, that deadline of September 20th is getting closer and closer, right? It's this Sunday, and if no deal with the administration is done by then, what we'll likely see is TikTok seek a temporary injunction to stop the government from shutting it down. But ultimately, that is where we are right now, and I now pass the question off to you. What are your thoughts here? Are we going to see a deal get done, or is September 20th going to come and there's no paperwork? Also, let's say a deal does get done. Are you happy to see that, or you think it's a bad thing, either because you're against TikTok or you're against the idea of seemingly Trump setting up a situation to reward an ally? I don't know. A lot's happening, but that said, I would love to know your thoughts on this. And then let's talk about the situation with the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. Now, it all started Saturday night when two LASD deputies were shot in Compton. On Twitter, LASD described what happened as an ambush and said both sustained multiple gunshot wounds and were in critical condition. Had to undergo surgery. But seemingly good news, both are out of surgery now, and officials have told reporters that while the long-term impact is unclear, it does look like they will recover. Now, as far as who did this, the suspect is still at large. There's a $100,000 reward being offered for information that could lead to finding and arresting the suspect. As far as publicly known evidence, the LASD has released a video showing the gunman. They approach the deputy's vehicle. Out of nowhere, they begin shooting, then run away. With County Sheriff Alex Villanueva tweeting, "The suspect in this cowardly attack must be arrested and brought to justice." We also saw Trump and Biden speaking about this. Trump tweeting, "Our thoughts are with two sheriff deputies who were shot in Los Angeles. We send our love and support to their families, and we pray to God for their recovery." With Joe Biden saying, "This cold-blooded shooting is unconscionable, and the perpetrator must be brought to justice. Violence of any kind is wrong. Those who commit it should be caught and punished. Jill and I are keeping the deputies and their loved ones in our hearts and praying for a full recovery." Right, so as of recording, that is where we are. The search for the suspect is still underway, but that is not the only reason that this story has made headlines. Because outside the hospital where the two officers were being treated on Saturday, there was a press conference and later protesters gathering. And some of those protesters, according to the LASD, were chanting, "We hope they die," in reference to the two shot officers. Also, some were blocking emergency pathways. A video from these protests also seems to show a person saying that.
"I hope they die."
And Josie Huang, who's a reporter for LA's NPR station KPCC and The LAist, went to cover the shooting, press conference, and those protests that developed. And she and a protester both ended up getting arrested. But Huang's account of what happened and the LASD's account of what happened are notably very different. Right, so in tweets early Sunday morning, LASD said, after deputies issued a dispersal order for the unlawful assembly of a group of protesters blocking the hospital emergency entrance and exits, a male adult protester refused to comply and cooperate. During his arrest, a struggle ensued, at which time a female adult ran toward the deputies, ignored repeated commands to stay back as they struggled with the male, and interfered with the arrest. The female adult, who was later identified as a member of the press, did not identify herself as press and later admitted she did not have proper press credentials on her person. Both individuals have been arrested for 148PC, aka obstructing an officer. But Huang's side of the story, as well as videos that she took, paint a very different picture, with Huang later in the day taking to Twitter to explain what happened, saying she was charged for obstructing a peace officer while videotaping interactions between the officers and the protesters, adding she had made her way to her car after covering the conference, but then heard loud shouting outside the garage, so I went to check things out. I had on a lanyard around my neck with a press ID. And when she got outside, she saw the protesters with Huang saying, a couple were carrying large flags, others were filming deputies and taunting them. One deputy pointed a weapon at the protesters. I started filming on my phone, standing off to the side. No one took issue with me being there. And that tweet was accompanied by a video of what she captured at the time. The group had then dispersed, but deputies were still following at least one man down the street. So Huang walks behind at a distance, capturing what was happening by zooming in on her camera. Then, as she's following, this happens.
Back up.
Her saying she was getting shoved around, had nowhere to back up, with her footage continuing as she ends up on the ground. And in the other video, you can see officers step on her phone as she says, with her then writing, I was put in the back of a patrol car. The start of some 5 hours in LASD custody that began with the deputy refusing to uncuff me so I could put my face covering back on, telling me I just had a scrape when I was bleeding from my foot and not giving me back a shoe. Huang also sharing another angle of what happened. It looks like it was taken across the street. Right, so that's a lot different than what LASD said happened, because she identified herself as a reporter multiple times, had her credentials on her, something that it appears can be seen in footage obtained by ABC7. Right, there's that lanyard hanging from her neck, which she said was her press ID. And from everything that we've seen, she also didn't run towards the deputies, as their tweets claim. Right, she was recording them while following them from a distance. Right, and so following this, we saw a lot of people angry. You also had NPR calling for the charges against her to be dropped, saying NPR is appalled by the arrest of Josie Huang, a KPCC public radio reporter who was performing her job last night, gathering facts to inform the American public. The rights of journalists are protected by the First Amendment and essential to an informed public and our democracy. The Asian American Journalists Association also releasing a statement saying her arrest serves as a reminder of the risks that journalists face every day while reporting on the front lines during these uncertain times. We hold LA County Sheriff's Department accountable to provide answers for the excessive use of force and the detainment of our colleague, also demanding an investigation and apology for her arrest. And actually, around that, you had LA County Inspector General Max Huntsman saying to the LA Times, what surprises me the most is that once she was identified as a reporter, that they transported her, that they cited her. And with this, his office has opened an investigation into LASD's conduct at the conference and its arrest of Huang, with Huntsman adding, those two incidents are of concern to us because First Amendment rights are absolutely critical to the public's respect of law enforcement. And so we feel that requires immediate investigation. And as far as the LASD side here, you had Kerry Carter, captain of Century Sheriff Station, tweeting, we are aware of the incident which resulted in two arrests. There is footage of the incident and an active investigation is underway. We are unable to comment further at this time. Today, you also had Villanueva talking to KTLA and sort of justifying the arrest, saying, ultimately, we realize, okay, she could have done things different. We could have probably done things different, but at the heat of the moment, that's what happened. Also adding that the credentials she had on her were a work ID and not a press pass, and that KPCC is not a household name. But yeah, ultimately, that is where we are with this story. And if there, you know, if there is a place that I can close out on this, it's part question and hopeful plea. Can we all at least get on the same page and acknowledge that you can be very, very concerned about the treatment of the media by the authorities and be completely horrified by, against, and denounce the attempted murder of police officers, as well as also be disgusted by the idea that someone would say, I hope they die. Can we at least get there, or is that level of nuance and understanding dead? And then, of course, in addition to that, I'd love to know your thoughts on any aspect of this story. And that is where I'm going to end today's show. And hey, if you like this video, hit us with a like. Maybe it'll help YouTube not randomly suppress our content. Also, if you're new here, you should definitely subscribe and maybe text me at 813-213-4423. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you tomorrow.